Well, good evening. If you have your Bibles, grab them and go with me to Acts chapter number 28, the book of Acts, and chapter 28 this evening. And while you're turning, if you're willing and able, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of the Word of God? Acts chapter number 28, and what a joy it is to be with you all the way from California. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. My U-Haul's out in the parking lot right now. No, just teasing. Acts chapter 28, while you're turning, let me ask you a question. You like a happy ending? Yeah. Believe it or not, my wife refuses to watch a movie unless she knows how it's going to end. How many of you are you're like that? You just, happy endings are nothing. That's how she is. That's what she says. She refuses to watch a movie without knowing how it ends. I said, what's the point of watching the movie then if you already know how it's going to end? She goes, well, real life is hard enough. I don't want to spend all that time and get invested and only to have my heart broken after 2 hours of a movie. So we threw out all Hallmark movies. You can't watch any of those. Got rid of that. When you come to the end of Acts 28, it can feel disappointing. The book of Acts, full of excitement. The Spirit of God moving like wind on the water. The fire falling. Missionaries being sent, churches being planted. Yes. There's even peril and danger in the book. They're being hunted. They're being ran from cities. They're being delivered. They're being imprisoned. And then the earth shakes, yeah, and they walk out. Yes. And then you get to the end. Look at verse 30, it's two verses. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would this evening use your word in our lives. As we stand here on the first night of a missions-focused week, I pray that you would stir our hearts for the necessity of taking the message of the gospel all around the world. Receive all the honor and the glory from all that we do and say. Father, set a watch before my lips, keep the doors of my mouth, and cause me not to say anything that is not in line with your word. Watch over my wife and my kids while I'm gone. And in Jesus' name, I pray. And all the church said together, amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. After all that takes place in such a dramatic book, we're really left with a lot of questions that don't get answered for us in this final chapter. If you know anything about the trajectory of the Apostle Paul's ministry in the book of Acts, you will know that he has spent the last half of this book with one focus. And the focus is, he really wants to go to Rome. He wants to present his case before Caesar. And what you'll also know is you'll know that there are those from Jerusalem who are hot on his trail. And so as we conclude the book of Acts, we don't have any of those questions answered. We have no idea if things went well in Rome or if things went bad. We have no idea what Caesar's response to Paul's presentation was or what it was not. We have no idea if he ever made it from Rome to Spain. He talks about wanting to do that, but we have no idea if he does. A lot of speculation about maybe he did or maybe he didn't. But the reality of the text simply says he spent 2 whole years in his own hired house. He opened his door for all who would come in. And when they came in, he preached the kingdom of God. And he taught those things which were concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our estimation, those of us who love a happy and complete ending, we're left a little frustrated. And yet, in light of all that has taken place in the book of Acts, and really all that takes place throughout all of the New Testament, it really is the perfect ending to this book. It's the perfect ending for several reasons, but one reason why it is a perfect ending is because in chapter 19, Paul has written and said, I must also see Rome. And just so from a very practical standpoint, Paul's focus, Paul's drive in ministry, his heart's desire, his great longing was that he'd have the opportunity to go to Rome and that there in Rome, he'd have the opportunity to preach the gospel. I must go to Rome. I think of this in light of the missionaries that we are considering here this evening. I must go to Africa. I must go to Sri Lanka. I must do it. I'm focused on it. It's their singular driving focus. It's their one desire that God has given to them to preach the gospel, declare the kingdom of God, tell all concerning the Lord Jesus Christ to anyone who'll slow down long enough to hear the desire that they've been given. It's the same thing from Paul. And what we at least know at the end of this book, he made it. And we know how he fared while he was there, but we know that he made it with all the passion, with all the desire, with all the dreaming, with all the longing, with all the planning that Paul had been doing. This text allows us at least the knowledge of knowing that all of that was not wasted, but that Paul in fact made it. It's a perfect ending for another reason, though. It's a perfect ending because of how the book of Acts began. And Pastor Gillett mentioned this verse already in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And what you realize is this is not simply a great missionary imperative. But this is actually the way that Luke has structured his entire book. Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 7. The focus in those chapters is all on Jerusalem. And then in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, it begins this way. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And from that time forward, we get introduced to the apostle Paul, who has this missionary desire to take the gospel to Rome. And by the time you get to the end of the book, Paul is taking the gospel to the end of the earth, to the uttermost, is how it's mentioned. And so there you see even the fulfillment of the plan of God. That what Jesus in fact said would happen, this gospel must be preached. And it must be preached here, and it must be preached there, and it must be preached all the way over there, and it must be taken all the way to the ends. That even when you get to the book of Acts, this in fact is happening. The book finishes, but the mission doesn't. The book finishes, but the mission doesn't. So what does it mean for us that although the book has finished and the mission hasn't? Well, it means at least three things. It means first, that the mission is the message of the gospel. Amen. The mission is the message of the gospel. You see that really in verse number 31, Paul says, and preaching the kingdom of God. Now, at first that might be obvious, but that only sounds obvious when you point out what might be less obvious. When you think about all the things that you could add there, it could have been written, and we spent 2 years in Rome planting trees. He could have said, and we spent 2 years in Rome reducing unemployment. He could have said, we spent 2 years in Rome digging wells. There could be 1,000 different things that perhaps are well-meaning things, that are perhaps good things, that perhaps go a long way in providing a better life for someone. But what we are seeing in this is that the mission of the church, and that the mission of our missionaries, and that the mission for us as believers is the message of the gospel. This is what we've committed ourselves to. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we live in a world where there is an abundance of needs. And because of technology, we can have access very quickly to all the different needs and all the different concerns that present themselves throughout the course of a day or a week or a month. And yet we must be aware. We must be aware that it is very easy for a church, even a great church like this, and it's very easy for us to get sidetracked from what the mission really is. The mission is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must all fight against this. It's easy. It's easy to find yourself drifting in this. We must not forget the clear message of God's word is what we preach and proclaim. Paul says preaching the gospel, or rather preaching the kingdom of God. You must realize that when Luke uses this phrase, the kingdom of God, he's not using the phrase the kingdom of God as something that's nearby or some place right up the street. You know, if you go out here, take a left, and then take your first right and hit your second left past the third light, you'll find right there on the left-hand side the kingdom of God. No, that's not what he's saying. The kingdom of God does not refer to a place. It's referring to a rule. The kingdom of God is not referring to a location. It's talking about the activity of God. The kingdom of God is talking about the reign and the rule of God in the hearts and the lives of His people. And that rule and reign is right now happening in the hearts of His people who have believed in Him by faith. Preaching the kingdom of God. It's interesting, if you'll take time to go back and look at the beginning of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, Luke begins by saying, and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. He says, O Theophilus, I'm writing you a letter, and this letter contains the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. It's interesting then, isn't it? That the very first paragraph and the very last paragraph serve as these bookends for the book of Acts. That God has appointed His ambassadors. God has appointed His missionaries. God has appointed His people. And our job as His ambassadors, our job as His people, are to make sure that the mission stays on the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our mission is a message. You say, well, Dave, where do we find that message? Well, I'm glad you asked. You find that message right here in the Word of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in verse number 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And you thought your pastor preached long. He's got nothing on the Apostle Paul. We preach the message of this book. That's what we preach. From start to finish, from dawn to dusk, from cover to cover, from heart to heart. Notice what he says, persuading them concerning Jesus. The mission of the church is the message of the gospel. The mission of missionaries is the message of the gospel. The mission that God has given to you as a believer is the message of the gospel. So all that we are doing and all that we are saying and all the places we're going and all the money we're spending and all the entertainments that we're entertaining, is it relevant to the message of the gospel? Are we leveraging our friendships, our neighborhood, our time, our family dynamics? Are we leveraging all of that for the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The mission is first the message of the gospel, but there's a second thing that Luke shows us, and that is that the Apostle Paul understood the mission as second, making much of Jesus. The mission is to make much of Jesus. The best story that you could ever tell is the story of Jesus Christ. The best story that you could ever relay is the story of Jesus Christ. Look what he says, and preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul understands his role in Rome as making much of Jesus. Making much of Jesus. We have to be reminded, especially when we're tempted to think, well, this isn't a great ending. We have to be reminded that the book of Acts is not the life and times of the Apostle Paul. It's not the life and times of the Apostle Peter or James or John. No, it's the life and witness and ministry of Jesus Christ, what he both began to do and teach. Chapter 1, verse 1. O Theophilus, the former treaty that I wrote you to tell you about what Jesus began to do. That's the message of the Gospels. And now he comes to the book of Acts and he writes on, and by implication, well, what's the book of Acts about? If the Gospels were about what Jesus began, then the book of Acts is what Jesus continues to do right here, right now. Amen. Luke writes two books, and both of them are about what Jesus does in the world. This isn't about what a man started. This isn't about what some great leader has done. This isn't about a movement. It's not about a denomination. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about what Jesus has both began to do and to teach, and what he continues to do. So here's why that's important. Because we live in a world where people think that life is all about themselves. We are programmed in this world to think that life is all about us. And life can then be understood as one long continual progression of self-glorification. Do I want to? Do I not want to? Do I like it? Do I not like it? Do I care? Do I not care? This is the philosophy that most people have in this world. They do what they want, when they want, how they want, with whoever they want. And they're living for themselves. The Apostle Paul is clear. Luke is showing us this life is not about us. It is about Him. That you and I spend 75 years, maybe 75 years on this planet, but we will spend billions and billions and billions of years someplace other than right here. And most people never have a second thought about life there. They only think about here. But friend, eternity is closer than you think it is. You ever feel like the apostle says they're living in the last days, right? If they were living in the last days, how many of you feel like we got like seconds left then? I mean, if that was days, this is 10, 9. Everything we do in this life, everything you do in this life will amount to a dash on a tombstone. Born, whatever year, died, whatever year, and a dash right in the middle. The year you're born, the year we die, and a dash. But Jesus, He continues His work. See, a day comes when our work is done. But Jesus continues His work. He continues His work by His Spirit through His Word. You see how that helps us put life into perspective? That there's only one person who's really worth lifting up. That there's only one person whose story is really worth sharing. There's really only one name that's worth every knee bowing and every tongue confessing. And that one is not my name. It's not your name. It's not the pastor's name. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We make much of Jesus. It puts things in perspective in two ways. First, it puts things into perspective because it keeps us humble. We like to think that we are a big, big deal. Don't they know who I am? But what really matters is not who I am. What really matters is who do I declare? Who I am is simply meant to adorn the one that I declare. If you want your life to count for something beyond your earthly existence, then make it about eternal things. Make your life about proclaiming the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make your life about Jesus. It keeps us humble, but second, it keeps us hopeful. It keeps us hopeful. Here's how it keeps us hopeful. You and I may be forgotten. You and I may be overlooked. No one may ever know your name. No one may ever send you a thank you card. No one may ever pat you on your back. You and I may be forgotten, but the good news never will be.
Amen.
Never will be. Right. See, everyone in this life has a purpose. That's why God has placed you here. And Jim Elliot's wife, Elizabeth Elliot, wrote a memoirs of his journal. It's a great book, In the Shadow of the Almighty. If you haven't read it, you should. And she takes different parts of Jim Elliot's journal and she expounds the idea of what Jim was talking about or had talked with her about. One of the chapters deals with the work that Jim understood that God had given him to do for the cause of missions. And Jim Elliot wrote a line something to like, "I am invincible until my work on earth is done." But that's a man writing from a perspective of understanding an eternal purpose. That when my time on earth is done, it's because my purpose is fulfilled. And until my purpose is fulfilled, I'm just going to go on ahead and keep preaching the message of Jesus Christ. Keep proclaiming the words of this book from dawn to dusk, from cover to cover, from heart to heart. It keeps us hopeful. This is what we are committing to do this week. This is what you're committing to do. As a church, this is what these missionaries are committing to do. We are committing to make much of Jesus. And we are committing to keep the mission as the message of the gospel. So when you put your commitment in the offering plate Sunday, this is what you're saying: I'm making this much of Jesus. I'm making this much of the message of the gospel. And as we do that, we have a confidence. It's the third thought. Paul understood, by way of Luke, that the mission was the message of the gospel. The mission was to make much of Jesus. And the mission marches forward. Amen. Look at verse 31, the final phrase. "With all confidence, no man forbidding him." With all confidence, no man forbidding him. The gospel constantly is threatened. The gospel was threatened in the book of Acts. The gospel was threatened outside from its enemies, but the gospel was threatened inside from corruption that had sprung up in the church. The gospel was threatened constantly. But listen, friend, the gospel was never silenced.
Amen.
The gospel was never silenced. And that's why this is a fitting end to this book. It's a fitting end because it's actually not an end.
Amen.
It's a fitting end because it actually isn't the end. It's as if Luke, by way of the Apostle Paul's ministry, knows that you and I will face innumerable challenges. There are seasons where we feel shipwrecked. There are seasons where we feel beaten up on. There are seasons where we feel imprisoned. There are seasons where we feel attacked. The Apostle Paul was physically these things. There are seasons where we feel like this is what's happening for us. And although the message of the gospel is threatened, and although the message of the gospel is attacked, the message of the gospel marches forward. You can read it for yourself if you like. Acts chapter 6. Flip over just a few pages. Acts chapter 6. And look at verse number 7. "The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests became obedient unto the faith." Look at Acts chapter 9, verse number 31. Acts chapter 9. And then the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. These churches that were doing that, that had experienced that, noticed, were multiplied. Keep going. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 and in verse number 24. Acts chapter 12 and verse 24, and the word of God grew and multiplied. And we could keep going. We could hang out and find similar ideas like that in Acts 16 and in Acts 19 and Acts chapter 20, where the book of Acts, which begins with a few hundred believers in Jesus Christ, that although the gospel was threatened and although the gospel was attacked and although the gospel was imprisoned and although Paul was bound up, the word of God never was. You get to the end of the book of Acts, and there are quite literally thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, who have came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It increased, it multiplied. Do you see? You have seasons where you see this as a believer. You see the word of God multiplying and increasing. But you may have seasons where it's hidden from you just the same. You may labor and labor and labor and see great numbers come to Christ. And you may labor and labor and labor and see very few come to Christ. But make no mistake about it, the word of God triumphs. God's word is victorious. And what the end of Acts is telling us is that there is nothing that will hinder the message of the gospel. Amen. Nothing. And that's why it's such a perfect ending to this book. I want you to think about it in this way. That even in 2021, the Word of God marches forward. Amen. Do you believe that? Yes. Even in 2021, the Word of God goes forward in great power and is not forbidden. Literally, nothing can tie it up, unhindered, let loose. That this is how the Word of God moves about in our world, even right now, even today. So let the message of the gospel be front and center for every missionary in this church. And let the message of the gospel be front and center in every ministry of this church. Preach the gospel. Train pastors. Send missionaries. Plant churches. Engage in personal evangelism. Throw open the doors as the nations come to us. And let all of that be done with the confidence that God's word marches forward. The Bible is enough. The Spirit of God in us is enough. The message of Jesus, it's enough. And let us commit ourselves to this mission. Let us commit ourselves to this mission. Let us remember that the Word of God is always and forever sufficient to do the work of God. Let us pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for this example from the Apostle Paul's ministry. We thank you for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to move Luke to write in this fashion. And Father, we ask that you would take these two verses from Acts 28 and write them on our heart and shape us and form us and fashion us by it. And may we be obedient to you. And may we have confidence that in our obedience to you, your work is not forbidden. It is unhindered. It marches forward. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.